Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord. Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to episode 44 of our Get Out With God podcast. And we are on day 4 of our journey to the Spirit.
Woohoo!
Yes, and you'll have to pardon the noises in the background. If you catch some wind noise or some rustling tree noises or random animal sounds.
I would say embrace them, not pardon them. This is what it's about.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we are getting out with God today for our podcast in the beautiful panhandle of northern Idaho.
It's gorgeous, and we're racing against a thunderstorm that might be coming in.
Yes. So all the electronic gear is going to have to hide quickly if this thunderstorm comes in. But anyhow, please check the links below, and you will find there a link to our study guide. It's a free download that we provide with all kinds of good stuff and a deeper dive into the notes for this particular study and some scripture cards and various other things to assist you in getting into the Word and getting out with God. So, with all of the business out of the way, my love, would you like to read the scripture
today? I would love to. So you might have heard this before.
You think?
We're going to go back to Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and we're going to read about the fruit of the Spirit. So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, also known as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
No law.
And today we're focusing on kindness, goodness, and faithfulness.
Yes, in previous episodes we did love, joy, peace, and patience, or long-suffering. So today we're going on with kindness and goodness. Now remember, we want you to just to kind of summarize. As we've gone along here, we've discussed this repeatedly. You have to remember that the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit, because there is one Spirit that lives inside of you. These are all attributes, or what we like to call nutrients of that fruit. So with the Spirit living inside of you, you have all of these things in there. This is who you are, because if you recall, we talked about he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Mm-hmm. So your spirit has been merged with the Holy Spirit of God, and this is how God is.
I've got the power.
Yeah.
Living inside me, and I can tap into it anytime.
Yeah. And I've got the love, I've got the joy, I've got the peace, I've got the joy, patience.
Joy.
Yeah, we're going to have to change that. I've got the love, joy, peace, patience. Yeah, whatever. I'm not going to sing it. So, it's important to always remember that patience is not something that you have to develop. It's something that you have, and you have to tap into it. Mm. And learn how to tap into the patience.
I always thought I was in the wrong line for patience. It's always been there?
Yeah.
Oh.
And in those situations where somebody is truly not being very lovable, you also have the love of God inside of you.
Man, this would have been helpful and useful information several years ago.
Now, in these first 4, and next week in the 5, you got to remember we're going to be talking about the 2 different aspects of the Holy Spirit. First is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. When Jesus came to the disciples in the room, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's in John 20, verse 22 and 23. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So it's important to notice there that they had the indwelling Holy Spirit given to them at that moment because they believed. But then there's Pentecost, and that was
the baptism
of the Holy Spirit. And that's when the Holy Spirit came on them in power. And you can see the difference there, because when they received the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit, it didn't change them one bit. They were still hiding out. They were still afraid. They weren't sharing the gospel. It wasn't having an effect on their surroundings. But as soon as they got that baptism of the Holy
Spirit,
holy moly, first
dynamite.
Message.
Dynamite.
First message, Peter stood up boldly in front of all these people and proclaimed the gospel, and 3,000 repented. From that very first message, that very first day after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it created quite the ruckus in the entire town. And it says that fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles after the baptism. So we will get to the baptism in 2 weeks.
The gift.
The gift.
Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I love that first line of that scripture. Mm-hmm. Repent, and every one of you shall be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So good.
Yeah. And so it's not a must. It's a get to.
Mm.
It's a gift.
It's step for out good. And share. And
yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
Good.
Good stuff. So.
Kindness.
Let's go over these so we have an understanding that in the original language what they mean, because a lot of times these words, they have a common usage in our modern day culture, and it strays a little bit from the original intent. So kindness, what do you think kindness means?
I think it's an act of a kind of love towards others,
mm-hmm.
an outward act. That's what I think of.
Yep, and the Greek dictionary is right there. It says the quality of being warm-hearted, considerate, humane, gentle, and sympathetic. So that's very much in alignment with what the author was trying to convey. So remember, you have kindness in you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Even when someone is not being kind back.
That's right.
You can tap into that Holy Spirit, that fruit of the Spirit.
And just as an aside, remember when in your relationship with the Lord, who the author of kindness is. That is His attribute. The Lord is kind. You know, a lot of us were raised in kind of religious, well, not raised, but we're exposed to a lot of religious teachings where, you know, God was not so kind.
Mm-hmm.
You better watch out. He's going to strike you down. You know, it gives you the impression that He's standing over the railing of heaven with a lightning bolt ready to drop you at the first
screw-up. Wait a minute. I think you said that. You're like, I'm going to step away from you when you say those things. Yeah, in jest.
Yeah.
You know, I say and something and He's like, whoa, I'm going to step away.
And that's really, there are a lot of religious
teachings.
Portions of the church in this Western culture that still have that image of God.
So sad.
It is. Can you imagine, what kind of relationship can you have with somebody who's kind of capricious like that, and you never know how they're going to act from moment to moment?
I can't imagine sitting with the Lord and going, oh gosh, when it's going to slap me upside the head.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. If I say the wrong thing or just take the wrong, you know, turn somewhere.
If I pray wrong.
Mm-hmm. He is the ultimate in kindness in everything. And you can see that just in Jesus' ministry alone. How kind He was, even to the people who were antagonistic towards Him. You know, the religious folk. he was kind. The only time that he got angry was when they were defiling his father's house. It's the only time, well, twice.
Flipped the tables.
Yeah, flipped the tables and whipped them with a cord.
But I remember, I'm going to go back to The Chosen again.
Yes.
When Simon was not being very kind, he would say, "Now, Simon."
Yes, yes.
Come on.
And, you know,
Matthew is fine.
I imagine he was just like that. He was probably very, had a very good sense of humor.
Then he places them together, you know, the...
Yeah, definitely.
Work this out,
yep.
People.
Simon the Zealot with the Levite. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, that is kindness. And that is one of the attributes that lives inside of you. The next one is goodness. How would you define goodness?
I think of it more of an inward moral, like morals and right standing with God.
Mm-hmm.
So righteousness seems like what it, that's what I think of.
Yeah. Well, you remember Jesus was saying, I don't recall the scripture offhand. He says, who are you calling good? When somebody said good master. He says, who are you calling good? There's none good but God. Mm. So God is the definition of good. And if somebody has goodness, that means that they have the quality of God within them.
Mm. We just added an extra O because he's so good.
Yes.
God is so good.
God good. Yeah. There you go. That's good. I like that. But the definition, according to the Greek dictionary, says that it's the quality of moral excellence.
Oh, that's so good.
And it's especially as a quality that is not stagnant, but actively working itself out. So it's a quality within you of good that you're so full of that it overflows.
Mm.
Isn't that a good picture?
Yeah, and that term... But actively working itself out, it just seems like it just gets better with age. It just continues to get better and better and better.
Yeah.
Inside of you. Like that, it's ripening.
The fruit is ripening.
The fruit is ripening. It's just, it continues to get better with
Ooh,
time.
I like that analogy. Yes. Well, I mean, the Holy Spirit is ripe and he has all these qualities, but our ability to tap into them is ripening, yes.
Yeah.
That's good. Maturing. So as far as goodness goes, you have goodness. You are morally excellent inside of you already. It's not something you have to strive for. You have it. Just tap into it. That's goodness. So we have kindness and goodness and faithfulness, or some of the older translations just said faith. Because the Greek word there is pistis, which I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, or pistis or pistis. And that word can be translated faithfulness, being full of faith, or just faith itself. So some of the translations do it different ways. What would you do? You know, we had this discussion earlier.
I know. Right brain, left brain.
Yes, and it's good because I want to bring this out because, like, when somebody says blind faith.
I know you asked me what, or we were talking about that.
We were talking about that because in this, one of the biblical dictionaries, it says that the faith that the Bible talks about stands directly in opposition to the common term of blind faith. Because the faith that the Bible talks about, and we'll get into the scriptures that show this in a little bit, but it's something that is very much born out of and attached to something. So it's not blind faith at all. It's attached to something. And you were saying, well...
I never...
Blind faith to you means what?
So blind faith to me, I always thought it meant that you had faith regardless if you couldn't see what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So Yes, I believe in God. I put my full trust in God, even if I can't see what He's working out or what He has in the future for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I always thought the term was, like stepping out in blind faith would be, I'm stepping out even though I can't see. I just feel called to do this because God's called me to, but I don't see it.
And the way the left brain sees it is blind faith is just launching out with no attachment to anything, hoping and believing that it can work out without knowing anything or being attached
to
anything.
And probably hoping, not in the biblical sense of hope.
Not in the hoping, with a whole lot of doubt, but charging ahead anyway. And that's contrary to the biblical kind of faith. And even the faith that you talk about, the blind faith, in your definition, is still attached to your knowledge of who God is.
Sure.
And the fact that He's called you to do this, so you're trusting Him to work it out, even though you can't see it.
Just like a parent. You're like, okay, I trust them because they're telling me that this is unsafe or this is okay. I'm going to trust that parent like a child, child does. So.
And that's really the essence of faith, is trusting God so completely even when you can't see it. And we're going to find that definition here pretty quick in the scriptures. But one of the there's two points I want to point out from my studies on this. In the Bible Dictionary, there's two really important points to understand about the biblical kind of faith. The biblical kind of faith, it's based on a relationship between individuals. That's based on faithfulness and cooperation between the individuals. And it's all wrapped up in the Old Testament concept of a covenant. And if you are familiar with Old Testament covenants, they are absolutely unbreakable, unbendable, and they are so binding between the two parties that it's as if the two parties become one. They both become equal owners of everything that the other one has. So it was beneficial for somebody who was poor to come into covenant with somebody who was wealthy for whatever term that they cut this covenant about, because now the weaker person or the poorer person now is elevated to the same level as the wealthy man or woman.
Kind of like our joint,
very much
the joint heir with Jesus. So
yep,
now we have that everything, we inherit everything that He has.
Yeah,
we become one with Him.
That is the new covenant.
Oh, that's mind blown.
Yes.
Mind blown.
That is the covenant that Jesus came in and brought to you and I. We have full access to everything that He is and has.
Because of our faith in Him. This is a big circle.
Because of our faith.
This is so good. I mean, I knew these things, but I like how it all
when
comes
the
together.
Pieces of the puzzle start locking into place, it's
good.
It's awesome stuff. So remember that the faith is very much covenant oriented, and that it's not blind faith. It's attached to the person and the Word, who is the person of God. So there's nothing blind about it at all, other than the fact that you may not be able to physically see. But there is, there was another, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says that Christians are supposed to live, or that we do live by faith, not by sight. And with that phrase, he's talking about a Christian's ability to perceive things spiritually, which allows them to interpret the world in a godly way, even though they may not see it with their eyes.
Manifest in the physical world.
Yeah. So that's how Christians can have joy and peace when everything in the world is saying that they should be miserable and
it's
unhappy.
Because the Word.
That's right.
And the next scripture that you... I love this scripture, Romans 10:17.
Yes.
So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I love that. Mm.
Don't forget there's two steps there.
Yeah.
Because faith is a spiritual law. Faith is a spiritual law. And our faith as Christians, we're trusting God. But you know what? There's a reverse side of that coin. And we're going to be talking about that with the next scripture. And that is Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Well, let's go back. But we'll get to Hebrews 11 in a minute. Hebrews 1, Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's two steps to that. Your faith will be built by hearing. And the question is, what are you listening to?
The word of God.
Right? The second part, hearing comes through the word of God. So you have to be hearing what the Spirit is speaking to you through the word of God to develop faith.
And you have to choose to hear.
Yes, you have to choose. Very much so. So now we get to Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. But when we first met, I couldn't stand the word hope. I don't like the word hope.
Hope is not a strategy.
It's not a strategy. So I'm a project manager by trade, and my coworker, we actually would write it on the whiteboard because we were in a call and we're reporting out on our projects, and some poor project manager said, well, I hope to have the project done. And I remember the lead PMO, the lead project manager, said, hope is not a strategy, in front of all these people. And I was scarred. I'm like, I don't like that word hope. And I kept hearing it, hope, 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 put your hope, hope, hope. And so I know we had the discussion, and then you shared that scripture with me. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, and that's very true, because in our common vernacular, and this is one of those words, the reason I pointed that out earlier is because this is one of those words in the common vernacular that has taken on a totally different meaning from what the biblical authors meant when they said hope.
Well, and so the way I have heard it and the way I was thinking at the time is like, well, I hope I win the lottery, or I hope that I get this promotion, or I hope, and those are all sound so Debbie Downer.
Yeah. I mean, if we were to hop in the car and start driving down the road,
you have gas.
And you turn to me and you say, did you turn off the oven? And I look to you and I say, well, I hope so.
Right.
That's the way most people use it.
Yes.
There is a really strong element of doubt in that statement. I guarantee you, we're going to be turning around, coming back, and checking to make sure that oven is off, right? So in our modern society, that element of doubt is what is totally different than what the original authors. The original definition of the word hope is an assurance that is much stronger than even knowledge. So if you say, I know I turned off the oven, that's pretty certain. But the biblical hope is even stronger conviction and knowledge than that.
And doesn't it usually come with, I put my hope in?
Uh-huh. Yeah, hope has to be in something.
Right.
And generally, it's that hope is in something that is not physical that you can see.
Mm, yeah.
Right? So, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance. That word substance is, you find some sort of liquid laying around on the table. And you go, ooh, what is that? And then you look closely at it, and it has kind of a gooey substance to it, in it. So it's an ingredient. Faith is an ingredient that makes up those things that you are hoping for. And remember, hope, it's a strong conviction and knowing that something is coming to pass, or something will change, or something, anything that you've established in your hope. And one of the definitions I like is, it's a positive imagination. Everybody uses their imagination, right?
I think of Willy Wonka when you said that. I don't know why.
Willy Wonka. Well, he was an imaginary character.
No, I don't know why I thought of that, but.
But the, oh, wait a minute. He was talking about imagination in the elevator as it was going up, wasn't it? Yeah, there you go. All right. There's the association. So, I like to think of that using your imagination based on what you've read in the Word of God to paint an image in your mind and then establish a hope. So when God says, by His stripes you were healed, imagine yourself healed.
And the ultimate vision board. Like, you know, you have definitely. People vision boarding with magazines and stuff. I'd rather do it that way.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Imagine, what would you do? What would you be doing right now if this condition or whatever is ailing you wasn't present? Picture that in your mind and then
put your hope in that.
Put your hope in that based on
the word
of God, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope that's making sense and you're starting to see that chain. Yes. I pray that you're following this train of thought, because this is very important as a believer to understand that faith is a spiritual law. If you are imagining and you are convinced of all of the negative things that the world says is going on and that it's going to affect you, guess what? Your faith will make that happen because you've put your faith in that. It's a pretty scary thought.
Be very careful.
Be very careful what you are imagining in your mind.
And what you're speaking.
And what you're speaking. Because out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if there's all of these negative things in your heart, in your mind, and you are convinced that that's going to happen, you will speak it into existence.
Absolutely, and it could be either life or death.
Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So all of these concepts we've been building throughout this whole series, so that you understand and you see the interconnections between all of these things. It's so important to be in relationship with God, to be in the Word of God, and then to start placing your hope in what you're reading in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Letting it fill your mind with all of the wonderful things, because Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Mm-hmm. Plans for good. And not evil.
And if you're going to paint a picture, paint a good one. I mean, envision that good one and don't. We know the enemy cannot hear your thoughts.
That's right.
We know the enemy can hear your words.
That's right.
So continuing to voice the negative, I mean, we get that sometimes you're like, I just need to be heard. I need to process. There's a difference between processing and complaining or continuing to share the negative and breathing life into the negative. So couple that with, like, we know this is happening in the physical world, but I give thanks to God because of this promise and what I know is happening in the spiritual, and I'm just waiting for it to happen. So yes, I, you know, stubbed my toe and, you know, whatever happened, but I know that I am healed.
Yeah. And you know, this may sound kind of woo-woo to some of you, and it's only because people who are not believers have taken these principles that actually work. They work whether you're a believer or not. The principle of faith is a spiritual law. Paul calls it the law of faith. That's a spiritual law, and it works, and it has an effect on you whether you're a believer or not, whether you know it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not. So what the Holy Spirit is teaching us is to utilize the faith of God based on His Word for good.
Aligning crystals. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's all kind of this woo-woo stuff out there. based around these spiritual laws that God put into place.
Yeah.
And he wants you to know that he put them there for your good. Use them for good. For your own good and for the good of those around you.
Yeah.
Because you have authority behind the words that you speak. You have the power of faith. You have God's word. And you have God living inside of you.
And just trust that his plan is going to unfold. I heard something in the prayer group that I belong to, and it was really good. This gal said, I'm so glad that God gives us those next steps and unfolds things that are happening in our life as they do, and doesn't give us that vision
all
of
at once.
Tomorrow, because we have enough to be consumed with in today, but not burdening us with the troubles of the world tomorrow or the things that we're not ready for.
Mm-hmm.
He will give it to us as we need to see it, as we need to take those next
steps. And as we're ready for it.
I just thought that was really good, because
he doesn't want
to be able
to
thank
you.
Him for that. Like, thank you for not
dumping it on me
everything today.
Yes.
Instead of saying, oh, I wish I knew my future. Oh, I wish I knew what was going to happen. Thank him for not knowing.
Yeah.
And allowing us to just pause and go slow and enjoy and soak up today.
Yeah. One of the sayings that I love, I think it was Chuck Messler that I heard it from. I know, shock, right?
Either that or Andrew. Like, I didn't...
Well, I was thinking of something that Andrew said just a second ago, but I opted to go with the Chuck Missler one here. So, no, he said, and I think he was quoting somebody else. I don't recall who it was, but he said, always remember that your connection with eternity is always right now.
Mm. Oh, that's so good.
Tomorrow is a hope. Yesterday is a memory. Live right now.
Because it's a present. It's a gift.
It's a gift. It's a present.
So good.
The present is a present.
It's so good.
But God, if God is outside of time, so there's no time for him. Mm-hmm. For him, it's always right now. So live in the right now and just focus on the right now with him, in your relationship with him, and you will never ever, I mean, worry is based on your mind wandering to the future, the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Shame and blame and condemnation comes from the past, the memories.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really focused on right now and your relationship with God, you're right where he is.
Well, and I'm going to quote someone that doesn't have the same faith as us, but Eckhart Tolle has, it's a very powerful statement. And he said, if you're absolutely present, you're not worrying about the past, and you're not focusing on the past and reliving the past over and over and over and over, and you're not worrying about the future. If you're absolutely present, there's no pain.
That's right.
And so, you know, you think about it, you're like, oh, wow, that's good. And again, different faith belief system, but that concept it's definitely can be applied.
It's the
here.
Truth, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's our human nature to replay the tapes of the past and bring those into the present,
mm-hmm.
and then to forecast or game out.
It's like
all the different scenarios for what could happen tomorrow
and
or the next day.
Like I said, paint a good picture, like. Yeah. If you're going to write a story, paint a picture, whatever that is, paint it good. Because it's you don't really know, so make it good.
Yep.
And do that and focus on that instead of...
And there are so many promises in the scripture that God has given to us in our new covenant with him. There are so many. You'd never run out. You could paint a million pictures around those promises.
And get in the Word. Yeah, the Scriptures and the Word.
So dig into the Word and find them.
I know.
Take your Bible out into nature and just dig in.
Yeah. I used to focus so much on what had happened to me, poor me, like this pity party. Because and I wanted to just get reassurance from people around me. Yeah, I think it was to, like, is this really happening? I couldn't believe that it was happening. I couldn't believe such unkind things were happening. So I wanted to get people to do it. So I'd say it out loud. So here I am manifesting, like, I'm sharing this with the enemy.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, good, there's her trigger point. So I did that, and I would do that. And then I'd worry about the future. And I got in this just craziness of this. It was like, Tony Robbins calls it a crazy eight. So you get in this, it's like going around the freeway. You're going around and around and around.
Oh,
until
yeah.
you break off from that, it'll just keep happening.
Yep, and it gets more and more.
Yeah.
It grabs a hold of you stronger and stronger the longer you stay there.
And it's just harder to break out with it. And yeah. it's just, you know, that anxiety builds and all that. So now I know, okay, things I can do. I can look back at things that have happened and the blessings of God. I can get into the Word. What else? What other things, when we find ourselves spinning, what other things can worship,
mm-hmm.
fellowship?
And just speaking the name of Jesus. There is power in that name, and sometimes that's the only thing you can say. So just start saying Jesus, 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 and watch how quickly you're able to pull yourself out of that.
There's that scripture, come Lord Jesus, and I know they're talking about
Maranatha.
Yeah. Maranatha, but having that is, I love that as the grounding word in meditation, just, and not come Lord Jesus and take me. I'm not saying that. It's come Lord Jesus, come into my life and fill my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Maranatha.
Yep. Yep.
Whatever it takes, but nature, like I'm just sitting out, we're just sitting out here and it's, I can feel I don't have stresses, but just the stuff of
peace.
The day
yep.
is going away, and there's so much shalom and so much sozo out here. Like there's just healing and peace, and listen to the trees.
Oh, the wind in the trees is amazing.
You might be able to hear it on the recording, and we hear the birds in the background, the wind blowing through the trees. We can see the clouds. You can hear a rooster off in the distance or a dog barking.
Yep.
And it's beautiful.
And pretty soon you may even hear a train going by in the valley below.
Yeah.
You hear the train horn.
I know when we like to hike often, there can be times where you're with others and there's chatter, and sometimes you might, fellowship is good, but sometimes we like to lead people out into a silent prayer walk or just that silent walk. So maybe it's 15 minutes. So getting out and what can you hear?
What can you feel?
What can you see? Using all of those senses, tapping into those senses, and then maybe journaling about it afterwards. Like, these are the things I heard. You know, you go back to Job. I mean, you listen to Job and he talks about what you can learn from nature. Like, it's from the birds and the, you know, everything that you, and they're not worried.
And that's a good exercise if you're struggling with the spin or the crazy eight, is to get out and to take 15, 20 minute walk in nature and with the intention of going out to notice all of your five senses. Mm-hmm. What can you see? What can you taste? What can you smell? What can you hear? And what can you feel? And that will yank you right out of the past or out of the future and put you in the right now.
And the fact of moving too.
Moving
your body and that realization that God created everything around you.
Yep.
Every single thing.
And realize that when you come into the right now, that's where God is. Mm. And that's where you will connect with Him right now.
So good. So get out.
Get out.
Pray us out, honey.
Speaking of getting out, I'm going to pray us right out.
That would be awesome.
And then we're going to enjoy the rest of our time out here in nature with God.
Before the thunder comes in.
Yes, before the thunder. And we have to go running for cover. So join with us as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word today. We thank you, Father God, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that He has come to live within us, and that he has been united with our spirit. And now we have that covenant relationship with you, where we have access to everything that you are and everything that you have. Help us to remember, Lord, that in this covenant, that we also give you access to everything that we have and everything that we are. And that there is that relationship built based on the covenant that Jesus paid for. We thank you, Father God, for your kindness and your goodness and your faithfulness, for your love, your joy, your peace, and your patience with us as we learn these things. Father God, I pray that you open up our mind, the mind of our spirit, to receive these truths, that you illuminate them to us, Father, in a way that we know that we know that we know all of the things that we've talked about today. Help us to learn to speak in faith. Help us to learn to control where our mind goes and to use the imagination that you've given to us all to begin to visualize and to see in our mind's eye all of the promises that you've given to us coming to pass. We love you, Lord, and we thank you so much. I just pray for each person that is with us today that is listening, that you impact them in a greater way today with your love than they've ever perceived before, with your love for them, with your kindness towards them. Draw them closer into relationship with you, Father, so that they might know that they know that they know that you have nothing but good plans for them.
Amen.
We just adore you, Father, and we thank you for loving us the way that you do. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's kids said,
Amen.
And amen and amen.
That was good.
Woo. God is good.
Always.
All the time. Mm-mm. Well, shall we bless them with some perfect peace?
Yes, yes.
Shalom, shalom. We will see you next time.
We love you.